Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, back again. Here we go. It's week five. Hard to believe it's already week five in the National Football League. Time flies. We are in October. Bills finish September with a 3-1 record. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. Matt, do you remember picture day at school when you were younger?
I do. I do remember picture day, but I have no idea where you're going with this.
Well, my son had picture day today, so it was always the picking of the outfit. What do we want? I mean, this is something that, you know, when you're older, you look back at, like I'm showing now. Remember when I was in sixth grade? Mm-hmm. Here's my school picture. And, you know, you don't think about that when you're in that moment, but, you know, you think about maybe I should have worn something different that day. Last year, he actually wore a Bills quarter zip, was pretty cool, and people are like, oh, Bills. I thought it's kind of weird, like it's picture day, but it was totally cool. This year it was more of the golf polo.
I have an all-time bad school picture. I mean everybody does in some capacity. Yes. I had one where I didn't know it was picture day. Here, I'm going to show this to you on the screen. Okay. If you're listening to this, you're not going to see anything.
See, this is the advantage of subscribing and watching. Matthew, look at that. I love that picture.
That is a yellow yellow t-shirt with a blue background.
I love
the most disgusting hair ever. I didn't know it was picture day, so I just showed up. And yeah, I mean, that just happens, I guess. Whatever. Good pictures, bad pictures, whatever. Not a big deal.
Yeah, I actually have some real quick old school pictures I can find. Because I had the big afro when I was younger. I had a lot of hair, right?
That's
a
hard
big, had a lot of curly hair.
That's a hard thing to visualize.
Yeah. So here you go. This is one. I'll give you that. There we go. That's very young.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I get it. I love the like side profile picture in the background of the regular photo in front of you.
And what about the collar? I mean, that thing, you flip that up, it's going to poke my eye out, basically. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
That's aggressive. What are we doing there? Times have changed a bit.
For sure. Hey, it's always game day in Buffalo, and it's going to be game day in Houston this week. That's where the Bills travel on Sunday, a 1 p.m. game. Yes, finally, a Sunday 1 p.m. game, then one more Monday night game, and then it's pretty much Sunday's for most of the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll figure out the week 18, what that looks like. Either way, the point is big game against the Houston Texans. But really, the news has been off the field more than anything this week, Matt. And we're going to get into the game itself. But this Davante Adams stuff, not only not slowing down, but maybe even ramping up over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, as I woke up on Thursday morning, that's when we're recording this, I saw an update from Diana Rossini from The Athletic saying that the Bills and Chiefs are monitoring it, something that they would be looking into if the Raiders would retain some sort of money. We saw Albert Breer talking about it on Wednesday evening, that the Bills and the Steelers are one of the teams that are interested. It still feels like it's going to be the Jets, but at the same time, the Bills' name is out there, and it's probably going to remain out there because every time a wide receiver has been available the last couple of years, the Bills in some way, shape, or form have been tied to that player. Whether those are legit or not remain to be seen. Brandon Bean is doing what he should be doing. Every time there's one of these players out there, he should be checking in to see what it costs, because sure, Davante Adams would definitely help the Bills. That doesn't mean I think I would definitely do it, but he would make the team much better than they are right now.
This is fascinating for me. So yesterday, I recorded a quick episode, and you can find that, you know, on the South Sports YouTube page and wherever you download, it's always game day in Buffalo, and listen to us. And I went through the scenarios, and what I said was, and I'll let you kind of react to what you think about this. It's fascinating to me because it would be a complete departure of kind of what they've intentionally wanted to be this year, which is everybody eats. We don't want to have a 30 plus year old wide receiver who's this super really good receiver, but alpha, commanding targets, high salaried guy. That's why Stephon Diggs is no longer on the team for a lot of maybe reasons, but that's pretty much what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Davante Adams is. So on the surface, I'd say that's not what they want to be. But was the film on Sunday night enough for them to say, boy, we have to kind of pivot here because we don't have guys we're able to separate and look at the AFC. It is wide open with all these injuries in Kansas City and teams up and down. Like, we can make our team better here. That's why I think this is super interesting. The financial part of it, we can go over in a second. I'm just saying from a roster build standpoint.
Yeah, I struggle with the idea of the AFC is not as good as we thought it would be. And they have a real opportunity to make some noise. So I think that they need to take advantage of it. All of that said, they intentionally kind of set themselves up to have success starting next year with salary cap space, with draft capital, with all these things that you would probably then just give away if you end up going out and signing or trading for Devontae Adams on what would purely be a rental. That is why, if they do it, I think that they are making their team better, and I will never fault a general manager for going for it when you've got Josh Allen and you've got this window that the Bills are in. However, I think there are players I would like more. I think I would like DeAndre Hopkins and whatever he would cost more than Devontae Adams and what he'll cost. I think I would like Amari Cooper and whatever he would cost more than what Devontae Adams would cost, because I think Devontae Adams is going to be a premium asset. You're talking about probably a second-round pick and then some if they have to retain salary. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper are costing you that. And I don't think there's a drop-off in talent.
So you're not talking just about the player you'd rather have. You're talking about what the compensation would be factored into the player. But certainly, I would guess you'd think Devontae Adams is a better player if it's all the same, right?
Absolutely. If it's all the same, then it's Devontae Adams. I
don't think it gets quite the premium you're saying. It could, if you're retaining salary. I get that point. I agree with you that if you're going to have the Raiders retain salary, they're going to ask for more. I mean, the word is it could be a second-round pick. Can I throw this at you, though, Matt?
Sure.
Didn't we say the same thing about 2017 when they're setting themselves up for 2018? Yeah, they're going to try and be competitive, but they're not tanking.
Yeah.
And then guess what they did? They started hot, and they said, let's go trade some of that to go get Kelvin Benjamin. That's what they did.
Yeah, and I think that that's still within play. I mean, I think Brandon, they did it last year with Russell Douglas. They went out and they made a big move at the deadline to try and make their team better. I think that they could do a couple things. Like, if I'm saying it's in a vacuum, so it's not the perfect way of explaining it, but I would rather have DeAndre Hopkins and a safety than just Devontae Adams. And I think it would still cost you less than what it's going to cost to get Devontae Adams. I think of all of the players who could potentially be available, Devontae Adams would make the most immediate impact, and he would be really, really prolific. But because of the salary restrictions the Bills have, it's going to be expensive. It is going to cost a lot to get that guy.
Okay, so everybody is clear on this. Devontae Adams, as of right now, if he were traded today, the new team would need $13 million or so in salary cap space. The Bills don't have that, as you just pointed out. They just don't have that. Every week that goes by, it drops by about $1 million because that's his prorated salary. So every week that goes by, so next week it'll be $12 million needed, then $11 million needed. By the time we get to the trade deadline, 4 weeks away, I guess, 5 weeks, what are we talking here? $9 million. Bills still don't have that. But that, by then, would make it a little easier for the Raiders to retain some of that salary. Which by then, Matt, maybe it's not as premium as you say. Mm-hmm. I still can't see it getting up to maybe a 2+. I mean, maybe a second overall gets it done, which by the way, the Bills do have 2 second-round picks. They have one, a 2 twos, a 3, Minnesota's second, and the Stephon Diggs deal last year that went from Houston and Minnesota's original pick. They can afford that. I think as it goes on, though, 32-year-old receiver, I still think that I don't know if you're getting quite that high of a price. If it is, then I think I'm out too. Okay, but from a philosophical standpoint, though, what I said earlier, do you think that the Bills would say, look, this is not who we want to be. This is the exact opposite of who we want to be, bringing a player like this, as good as he is, as great as he is. Mm-hmm. What we want to do here is stay away from that. We like what we're building here. Or is it, oh, no, we saw that we have to do a little bit more, so maybe we need to pivot.
I think it can be a little bit of both. I think everybody eats can be the mindset that you have when you don't have one guy who should be eating more than everybody else. And I think that's kind of what they have right now. Everybody eats because everybody can eat. You don't have a guy like a Stephon Diggs or a Devontae Adams where they are commanding those targets. If you bring somebody like that in, I think it makes everybody else better. We're 4 weeks into the season. There's a lot of players offensively who have not lived up to the expectations we had for them going into the year. Maybe that is because there wasn't a true alpha who was taking most of the attention. We thought more, we were going to see way more from Dalton Kincaid. It's been a slow start to the season for him. We thought we would see more from Curtis Samuel. And I mean, that's just more of like a scheme than anything else. But there's a lot of guys besides Khalil Shakir, we've probably thought every single wide receiver would have a bigger impact than they have. So I think that that's what their mindset is now because they don't have somebody like that. But it would be really easy to shift back to that. That's the thing that I struggle with, though. After all of this, it's nice having receivers who aren't commanding stats and who aren't commanding targets. They're trying to actively get younger and cheaper. And this is the opposite of all of that. That's to me why it just, while it makes sense to add a player of that caliber, I don't think they'll do it.
It's fascinating, and I also believe, you know, you said there's some reports out there, and I think there's enough from people like Albert Breer and Diana Rossini. Like, there's enough to show me and tell me that the Bills haven't come out that we know and said, like, that's just not something we're interested in. There's enough to show me that Brandon Means at least monitoring the situation, right? Like, we would think that that's the case. And like you said, he wouldn't be doing his job if that wasn't the case. All right. Well, the other bit of news, obviously, this week was the Von Miller suspension. The Bills are going to be without him for 4 games.
Okay. So we heard from the team for the first time on Wednesday since the Von Miller suspension was announced on Tuesday. And they didn't have much to say. There wasn't a ton of clarity that they were able to provide. It was more or less, he's suspended for 4 games. We respect the NFL's decision. We found out about this a couple days ago, and now we need to start thinking about the future, and somebody needs to step up in his place. And that was kind of it. Now, I know that this is a legal situation, so it's much different than, we're talking about like a transaction or about a report of something that's happening. Like, this is a legal situation, so there's only so much they could say, but I was still a bit surprised at how much the lack of clarity we were able to get.
Yeah, although Adam Schefter did report later in the day that it is directly related to the domestic abuse allegations and the arrest that happened in November of 2023. He did report that it is directly related to that. We did not know that up until, that particular time, because the Bills hadn't said specifically and the NFL hadn't said specifically. Okay, so now they're going to be without Von Miller for the next 4 weeks. I've had a lot of people asking me, can they get out of his contract? Can they avoid it? I don't see any of that happening, right? Let's just kind of put that to rest. You don't see that happening. The Bills trying to do anything like that. In fact, I think that the fact that they reworked his contract in the offseason kind of told a story here about, hey, they may be expecting something to come down and we're not going to be moving on from him when that happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating that he's gone for 4 weeks. I do not know for sure what the restrictions are of if he can or can't be at the facility, although he was not there on Wednesday when we were there.
So I don't believe you're allowed to be at the facility for a personal conduct violation suspension. I believe for a substance abuse suspension, you are, because of the treatment that they have basically available that comes with things like that.
So not going to see him for several weeks, and then he can come back after the Seahawks game. I think that this is a very layered conversation. There's a lot that goes into this, but from strictly a football standpoint, I think they need somebody to step up. I don't know exactly who they're going to try and lean on. Maybe it's the sum of the parts or greater than, just one individual player. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a tough blow for the Bills because he had produced, especially in those first 3 games with the sack in each of those games.
Well, he didn't play very much on Sunday night. No. Now it's going to be time for a guy like Javon Solomon, up into a role. Obviously, Casey Tuhill's played a little bit and maybe ask a little bit more from him. They're going to have to lean into that rotation, as you say. And that includes new Zion Logue, by the way, who they signed off the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. Interesting signing there, 6'6", 314, a sixth round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons this year. The Bills, however, are dealing with an injury up front. Austin Johnson has an oblique injury. We'll see where that goes. Let's take a look at what's happening this week, Matt, as far as injuries are concerned. As you said, we're recording this on a Thursday. Wednesday, I always tell people, yes, Wednesday matters, but it doesn't nearly matter as much as Thursday. By the time we get to Thursday, it matters a lot more. If anybody's dealing with anything, they're going to kind of give them a little bit of a extra day here on Wednesday. That's Khalil Shakir. That is Deion Dawkins. And of course, Taylor Rapp in concussion protocol.
So let's go down the list. These are, once again, educated guesses from Sal and I. Stop me if you think I'm wrong on any of them. I think Deion Dawkins is going to play. I think that this is just them being overcautious, and the way that Josh answered the question about Deion makes me think that they believe he is going to be out there.
Can you tell everybody what he said?
Yeah, so Josh was asked about, you haven't played a lot of games without Deion Dawkins, and he was like, listen, that guy's a dog. He's going to do everything he can to be back out there. If he's not, it'll be a big blow, but hopefully we can get him back there, which to me, just read between the lines, makes it seem like he's going to play.
Can I give context to Deion Dawkins' injury real quick, just so everybody knows? Because when it was announced yesterday, there was a lot of, oh my God, what happened? In the game, during the game, this is the advantage of being on the sidelines and seeing what's going on the radio broadcast. I know you can't listen, Matt. You're up in the press box and watching. On the radio broadcast, I had mentioned every time he came off, he was talking with trainers and pointing to his right hamstring. This was something that was happening during the game.
Yeah.
He never missed a play because of the injury, though. He kept going back out there. And then so it was something that he was fighting through during the game, but he never missed a rep due to the injury, which I think is encouraging.
And I think that the same can be said to a certain extent for Khalil Shakir.
Agreed.
Khalil Shakir does not practice on Wednesday. He's on the injury report, but he went back into the game. So unless there was some sort of setback after the game, then I think that we will see him. I don't know if we'll see him in practice on Thursday. My guess is we do in a limited capacity, and then we will go from there. Taylor Rapp was working off to the side. He's in concussion protocol. I do not think that we see Taylor Rapp this week. I think it's going to be Colt. You think we do?
Well, I think traditionally this team has guys have played a week after concussions. They progress through. And the fact that he was already on the field working, I think is a positive sign in that regard.
I think with the concussion, the Sunday night football, the shorter week. Also, I don't know how much it's not, I don't want to like really like dump on someone who's injured, but how much do they need Taylor Rapp?
I think they need him. And they're thin at safety, especially with if Taron Johnson, which we'll get to in a minute, because Cam Lewis is a backup safety who's playing nickel corner right now. Mm-hmm. So I think they absolutely need him. I think if they don't have Taylor Rapp, you're elevating someone from the practice squad, like a Lewis Cine or a Kareem Jackson. Matt, last year, I think it might have been Ty Johnson. I could be wrong on that. Had a concussion on a Monday night game, and they played the next week.
Yeah. Lewis Cine.
I don't think the timeline, late Sunday, sure, it matters. Mm-hmm. I think traditionally, over the last few years with this team, we've seen guys pretty much almost rarely miss the next week after being out with a concussion.
I think Thursday and Friday will tell more of the Taylor 100%. Rapp story because right now we're looking at a guy in a hoodie running on the sideline, but is he actually practicing? Lewis Cine, this is not an injury update, but really interesting. Thad Brown from WROC in Rochester posted this video from practice yesterday. Now, I was at the other side of the field working on something else, but they were showing Lewis Cine working in the role that they were using Jordan Poyer for last year. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
Dime safety, essentially.
Yeah, which is, I mean, given the skill set, given the athleticism, maybe that is a place where he could thrive. You could have used a guy like that on Sunday night against the Ravens for sure. So something to just kind of keep in the back burner.
And by the way, that's where Jamarcus Ingram has been playing when they've used that package. Not as much last week, obviously. Well, while Cam Lewis is playing nickel corner, Cam was going to be that package until Taron Johnson got hurt. Let's talk about Johnson and Bernard.
So Taron Johnson, I would say, is a coin flip right now. When asked, I specifically asked him yesterday, if not like, are you going to play? But how do you feel? And do you think you could play? And he was like, I'm going to listen to my body. I think there's a chance. I want to see how the next couple days go. I think with him, it is strictly a coin flip. Now, the reason I'm not completely thinking that he's going to play is watching practice yesterday. He was listed as limited, but also very limited during the portion of practice that we were allowed to watch. You know, like tackling drills on the dummies. He's not taking part in those. Like, why not any extra contact? If you're not ready to do that, what makes you ready to be out in an actual game? Now,
that's why I don't think it's a coin flip. That's why I think it's more about 70-30 not going to play. On a Wednesday, he's out there. Last week, Terrell Bernard did more than that, and he didn't play.
Sure. The other thing, too, is you ask him about going against Stephon Diggs and how different it's going to be, more to get a gauge on if he thinks he's going against Stephon Diggs. And he was I used to do it in practice all the time. Like, it's not going to be any different. Yeah. Like, I'm ready for this. So that's another, you know, kind of a game within the game of, oh, well, do you actually think you're going to play? Like, how much have you thought about going against Stephon Diggs? Or are you really still a week away? So you think it's unlikely. I think it's a coin flip. I think that will be another one. He's going to be on the injury report all week. I think that he's the one where when you talk to Sean on Friday, if he's not ruled out, he's going to play. But there is a chance that guy gets ruled out before we even get to the weekend. And I also think Terrell Bernard is, I don't want to say definitely going to play, but I would say 80%, 90% chance that we see him back.
Yeah, I think it's pretty confident from what we've seen that Terrell Bernard will be on the field on Sunday. He's in a blue jersey. He's not even in a non-contact jersey anymore. He's now practiced for a full week. I think that's right. I'm not giving Taron like no chance to play. Like I said, like 70-30. I just think that it's another week here. He's not hitting anything on Wednesday. But look, I mean, he can play with it. And by the way, he had a big brace on wrapped up from the wrist to the elbow. I just think it's less likely, but I don't give it zero chance. I think that there's a chance that, you know, Taron Johnson could be out there against the Houston Texans, who, by the way, are dealing with some injuries of their own. Now, it was reported by Aaron Wilson that Joe Mixon was going to practice on Wednesday. He did not actually practice with his ankle injury. Again, Wednesday, maybe an extra day. He's missed the last two games. Also, Tank Dell did return. He has rib injuries, though, and Tank Dell's not the biggest of guys. He's missed a couple of weeks with the rib injuries, so obviously something he's dealing with, but trending towards maybe him playing. And then Laremy Tunsil, their left tackle, also did not practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil is one to keep an eye on because he left their last game early in the game, did not return. Laremy Tunsil is by many people believed to be one of the premier left tackles in the NFL, but he's had a ton of penalties this year. I believe he might be the most penalized player in the NFL or one of them. So another player to monitor. I get the sense from all of the reporting coming out of Houston that Joe Mixon and Tank Dell are both going to play.
Me too.
I think the only one who's kind of up in the air would be Laremy Tunsil, and a team without their starting left tackle would be a big loss. But oh, by the way, the Bills were also without their starting left tackle in practice right on Wednesday.
So, hey, can we real quick tell everybody if because we didn't do this, if Deion weren't to play, it would be Ryan Vandermark who would suit up for the Bills. Tylon Grable was the swing tackle. Vandermark had been inactive.
Mm-hmm.
But Grable's now in IR, so that becomes Ryan Vandermark's spot.
Yeah, and I think regardless of what was happening with Grable, they would have probably still used Ryan Vandermark, even though he had been inactive for a couple weeks. Don't you agree that they just
probably left tackle? Maybe mm-hmm. if it's Spencer Brown, maybe it's Grable if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he had been active. But no, I agree with that. If Khalil Shakir does not play, they're going to probably elevate somebody from the practice squad. You're not going to go with four guys. KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, always a possibility with one of those guys.
Yeah, I think KJ Hamler would probably be the one that they bring in there to try and just have a little bit more explosiveness in the offense. Different player than Khalil Shakir. Khalil Shakir, super reliable, super steady. KJ Hamler feels like a boomer bust guy. Maybe just try and keep a defense honest by shooting him down the field a couple times. But they really haven't done that a ton with MVS either. So I think that it would be more of, okay, we'll see more Samuel. We'll see more MVS. We'll see more of the other guys if Shakir is not available to play.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the other storyline that obviously people are engaged with this week, and that is Stefon Diggs going back against the Buffalo Bills. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. By the way, wherever you pod, we appreciate it. Throw us a nice review, a like. Thank you so much. Download, subscribe. And on the YouTube page, at Sal Sports, I just looked, Matt, we are at 9,422 subscribers.
We're close.
Less than 600 away from 10,000. That's the goal. Let's get us to 10,000. We appreciate it. Sal Sports on YouTube, by the way, you can find a lot of different content there, but especially Matt and me, both of us, giving a lot of different pods coming at you on audio and on video every single week. So we appreciate you doing that. By the way, this morning, Matt and I were texting back and forth about when we were going to record. And Matt had sent me a note. This is really funny. And the note was basically that you had to watch the baby around 9 o'clock. There's something going about watch the baby. Uh-huh. So I got an alert on my phone that said, do you want me to add watch the baby to your calendar at 9 a.m.? I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't need to watch the baby.
You don't
that
need
was
to,
from Matt.
But if you want to babysit, you're more than welcome to come over. I got to go to practice anyway after this. So, you know, somebody had to be here with the baby. Luckily, my mother is here taking care of her
right now.
But if you want to, you're more than welcome.
I appreciate that. I'm sure it would be a fantastic experience, but I'm good. I'll see you at practice a little bit later. Matt, take us into a major news sports outlets, sports director's life the week of a storyline like Stefon Diggs and Josh Allen.
I mean,
take us into what your week is like with you and your staff and covering this.
You figure out, we know the Bills. The Bills are on a very routine basis of, okay, we're going to be there on, they're going to be off on Monday, Tuesday. Well, excuse me. They're going to do Zoom calls on Monday, Tuesday. They're going to be off. Wednesday is the day that we're going to circle because we know that's the day that Josh Allen is talking. Now let's figure out what's happening in Houston. So we're an ABC affiliate. So you start to call your ABC affiliates in Houston and see, hey, what's going on? Is Steph talking today? Well, there's another added layer of complexity to this because in Houston, the Astros were in the playoffs. So as you would imagine, if we were covering a playoff game here, it would be all hands on deck. Now, luckily, they still had a photographer who was at that practice covering the Stefon Diggs stuff. So they sent us the video. And then right when he was done talking, we trade them the Josh Allen video in exchange for the Stefon Diggs video. And then you go through it, you listen, and you just roll your eyes because it's like, oh, my gosh, he didn't say anything, which is so on brand, right? Both of these guys are taking the high ground and they're not adding any extra fuel to this fire. But don't I wish there was a heel turn from one of them, just because it would make so much more interesting television and content if one of these guys was like, you know what, this week does mean more. I really want to beat these guys and I'm going to beat them. It's like, oh, I appreciated our time together. We made each other better. Wish them nothing but the best except for this week. So it's crazy because it also reaches a level of, it's not just local news anymore, right? Like, there is a local news audience, but people around the country are caring about this whole Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, drama, not drama, whatever it is. It is a very, very big story. And that's why it's probably the top story happening in the NFL specifically this week.
Yeah, I didn't expect anything to come out of anybody at One Bills Drive saying anything that would draw attention. I asked Eric Wood, I was on his podcast this week, and I asked him, take us into the room of what is Sean McDermott telling his team about this week? Is he addressing it? He said, absolutely. He's going to tell them, you're going to have microphones in your face all week asking you about this. Just keep the focus on ourselves, obviously, right? That's what the messaging is. And not that they wouldn't otherwise do that. I'm not suggesting that anyone would say anything inflammatory about Stephon Diggs. But, you know, Eric said it would be addressed and you would talk about that. And that would make sense. And honestly, Matt, I think it seems like, as much as you say, like, hey, it's obviously a big storyline we're covering, it feels like more of the noise is from the outside about this than it is from the inside, because we're not expecting anything other than everybody taking the high road.
Yeah, definitely. But the interest on the outside, I'm not saying it tells us what we're supposed to be doing or we're supposed to always be catering to that. But no matter what Josh said, there was going to be interest. No matter what Stephon said, there was going to be interest. So much of that outside, even though it's not happening directly in the building, is still kind of what the narrative, right or wrong, is going to be this week. When these two teams play each other, it's not going to be two of the best teams in the AFC playing against each other. It's going to be Stephon Diggs going against his former team. That's just the way it's going to be billed. That's the way it's going to be talked about. And that's why it's the game that pretty much everybody on CBS is going to be watching at 1 o'clock on Sunday, unless you're in a different NFL market. Like, it's just going to be the game of the week.
And let's remember, the Bills played the Minnesota Vikings a couple years ago. After Stephon Diggs had been traded there to Buffalo from Minnesota, and how that ended. And he was the part of the Minneapolis Miracle and a big part of their team. And that was a reunion. The difference was there wasn't a Josh Allen type of quarterback on the other side. Because I think it was Case Keenum then, and Keenum wasn't even there anymore, right? I think if that's the case. So it wasn't that kind of storyline, but this has happened before. And I'm very interested in what the scene will be. We know what's going to happen when they meet it. They're going to see each other pregame. They're going to be each other bro hug. It's going to be cool. But I'm interested in what the scene around that is going to be and how many people are down there trying to get the film and, you know, the video and all that, because I know you'll be there. I'll be there doing the same thing, just like I did with Gabe Davis and Josh Allen.
This game would be, it's big. It would be twice as big if it was in Buffalo. But the fact that it's in Houston changes things a little bit, because it's not Stephon Diggs coming back to Buffalo. It's Stephon Diggs going against his former team. So that in itself is a really, really interesting story that people are going to want to care about. But if he was coming back to Buffalo, then it's how is he received by 70,000 Bills fans, and what is that whole scene like? So it's going to be big, but it's not as big as it would be if he was coming back to Buffalo.
All right, so speaking of being in Houston, the roof will be closed for the game. It's still going to be really good weather, but the roof will be closed for the game. Interesting, right? I mean, like, it's great weather, but they rarely open the roof. It was damaged by Hurricane Beryl, and they had to repair it. So it was open for a preseason game on Sunday night this year against the San Francisco 49ers, but it's already been repaired. It's going to be closed. So it'll be a closed roof. It'll be room temperature, essentially.
I mean, I think that that's probably more comfortable than the 90 degree temperature it is probably outside, right? Isn't that probably why they close it? To keep it comfortable as opposed to
no, that's not why they close it.
Really?
I will tell you. So my buddy is John Harris of the Houston Texans. He is the sideline reporter. And he told me back when Bill O'Brien coached, that's when they started to never open it. And it was because of the noise, because of how much noise they can get inside the stadium to affect the game and the crowd. And it has really nothing to do with the weather. Even though the weather is beautiful, they never opened the darn roof. They paid all this money. They have this retractable roof. They don't open it because they want the noise and they want to have an advantage.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, I remember we were there. The only time I've been there was for a playoff game, the game against Deshaun Watson in 2019, that overtime loss. I remember it being really loud. but also a playoff game. So you would expect that. That's the only thing I'm gauging it off of. If memory serves me correct, is that an open air press box? It might be.
Ooh, in Houston?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember. If it is, that's awesome. I love when press boxes are just out in the
I will tell you this. So in the stadium itself, it's a really nice stadium, but it's massive. It's huge. Too big for me. It's very, very boxy. Like it goes straight up like a box, right? And and everybody, you're right on top. The noise is incredible. But that's actually how I became friends with John Harris. Funny story. Back in 2014, do you remember the EJ Manuel pick six, the JJ Watt game?
Yep, I do.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. In that game, the way my job works is I'm on the Bills sideline, which is generally on the other side of the press box. We have antennas sticking out of the windows to get the signal. There's wireless, all of that. It's so high up, the press box, the visiting radio booth, we were getting a bad signal from me being all the way on the other side, which happens sometimes. So I actually, in that game, had to go to the Texan sideline to do a sideline report to get a better signal up to the press box. So I'm standing there with my, you know, microphone and Bills gear on, doing the Bills radio network. And this guy looks over me and goes, "Why is this guy here?" I'm like, I pointed up like, "I'm sorry." And he goes, he smiled. We laughed. I said, I can't get a signal. He goes, "Brother, it happens here all the time. I totally get it." So then we became friends and we hang out, and it's, you know, been a great relationship ever since. It's been 10 years now. Took him out for wings when they were here a few years ago. He's supposed to take me out for barbecue Saturday night. But all I will say, baseball, Yankees, 5:30 p.m., John. And so we better, he'll be mad because his Astros are out. So
yeah, well, I was going to say, so who are the Yankees going to play? Is it the winner of?
They play the Royals, who beat the Orioles and knocked them out.
Are you, once again, such a casual baseball fan that you could have told me the Royals were the worst team. Royals were the worst team in baseball, and I would have been like, "Oh, okay,
used to be."
So the Yankees should win this, right?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, they are very. The Yankees are the better team. They're the one seed. The Kansas City Royals like set a MLB record. They are the like they lost. They have the most losses for a team in 1 year to make the playoffs the next year.
Okay, basically. That's really cool.
They did. But they, it's a really cool story. And they went to Baltimore and beat them two games in a row. It's only a three-game series to start this first round. So they sweep them. They go to the Yankees. In the meantime, before we wrap up here, Sabres afternoon game in Prague. I also want to know, how are you covering that? Like, you're over there. You're WKBW, Channel 7. You got to cover the Sabres. You're in Prague. You got this big Bills game going on. Then you have another Sabres game Saturday morning, 10 a.m. our time. It's 1 p.m. It's 10 a.m. How I mean, here on WGR, of course, what we're doing is we're carrying the game, so everybody knows, WGR Sports Radio 550, carrying the Sabres game on Friday. I will have Sean McDermott's weekly radio interview on Friday. We'll get an injury update, and I'm throwing it right to pregame, and there's a Saturday afternoon game, a Friday afternoon game for the Sabres in Prague.
So I'm going to be covering the game from my couch because it is a Friday afternoon, and I'm off on Fridays during the season. So we're going to have a little daddy-daughter time, and she's going to be playing in the playroom, and I'm going to have the Sabres game on, and I'll be watching it from there. And then, obviously, we'll have Dom back at studio doing all of the stuff. I know there's a big watch party happening down at the arena on Friday. We will probably also have a crew there talking to fans and everything. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a busy sports weekend. Can I give you my take?
Yeah. I love it. Of course you can. It's what we do. It's what we do. We give takes here.
They're making the playoffs this year.
Oh, baby. I mean, they're not expected to, and their point total doesn't show it, but come on, they have to, right? If they don't have to, if they don't do it, there's going to be a lot of changes front office, I think. So it's going to be really, really interesting. We don't want to turn this into a Sabres podcast, but we love talking about the Sabres when they have fun things going on. So make sure you tune into WKBW TV Channel 7, WGR Sports Radio 550. One last thought on this.
Yeah.
It is a Sabres thought, but it's an overall thought. I know you're old enough to remember the TV carts that used to be wheeled into the classrooms, right?
Oh, heck yeah. Okay.
1983, Matt. I'm in fourth grade. Sabres are playing the Bruins in game two of the second round. Sabres win game one in Boston. Game two on a Friday. They had to play in an afternoon game on a Friday weekday playoff game because the Celtics were at home that night at the Garden.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
fourth
crazy.
Grade. The teacher wheeled the cart into the room with the TV. We watched it. If you're a Western New York teacher, do the right thing. Put the darn game on for our kids. You need to see the Sabres play on Friday afternoon.
That's a very good point. They should absolutely do that. Let me ask you this before we close out this podcast, because I don't know if we'll talk again before the game. Bills or Texans? Who wins and why?
I don't get predictions anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't get predictions anymore.
Okay. All right. Is that do you have to do it for GR and you don't like spoil it?
I do every once in a while. It's a, no, It's just like, I don't know. I hate doing the prediction thing. It's just so, I don't know how to explain it.
I know, because nobody knows, right? Like, we are using educated guesses.
I like the Bills' chances. I generally pick the Bills. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I think they are favored, good. By the way, right? The Bills
are
favored.
Good. Yes, the Bills are a favorite in this game, which was a bit of a surprise to me. The way it started, the line opened before they played the Ravens. It was the Bills -2.5, which seemed really aggressive. Then they get dominated by the Ravens, and then it swung back to Texans -1.5. And then it eventually worked its way back to Bills now -1. That's what it was, at least on Wednesday when I checked. So right, the Bills are slight favorites.
This is a tough game. I'll do it here for you. All right. This is a tough game. Yes. And because I do every once in a while, but I try to stay away from it as much as I can. The Bills, this will be a very tough game. I think I'm a very big CJ Stroud fan.
Yeah.
I think he's excellent. And I think DeMeco Ryans has done an excellent job. I also do think a little bit last year was maybe they were a little inflated with their schedule they played and all that, but you can't hold that against them. They did what they had to do, and they're in the position. They've really built their team the right way. I like the fact of what the setup is for the Bills, where they got their butts handed to them on Sunday night.
Yep.
And I think there's a major focus of, you know, getting back to, you know, making sure that that doesn't happen again. And I think especially with the Stephon Diggs noise, they've been able to focus more in on this game, and I like that for them and their chances. So I'll go with a 1-point win, 24-23.
All right. And I think, to me, going back to the Ravens game, I talked about this a little bit on our show on Monday night on Channel 7. With the injuries the Bills had, I don't know if there was a team in the league that was a worse matchup at that time than the Ravens. Agreed. The Ravens are really good at was actually attacking where the Bills are really, really weak. And that wasn't just games plan specific. There was a bunch of really interesting information from like Warren Sharp out there and people leading up to the game of like, this is what the Ravens do and this is what they're successful at. And it happened to be going at areas where the Bills were just decimated with injuries. I think because of the three-headed monster the Texans have, the Bills, it's a really, really tough matchup, but this is a game where your corners need to win, and their corners are good. I think we're going to see, you know, a lot of Christian Benford on Nico Collins. Let's see how good Christian Benford is. I think we're going to see Rasul Douglas going against, I don't know, whoever else is on the boundary, whether it's Tank Dell or whether it's Stephon Diggs, whatever. The thing that is a bit concerning to me is that Joe Mixon looked very good early on in this season. Very, very good. And we just saw what the Bills did against a good running back, or what they were not able to do. I agree with you, though. I think the biggest reason why I think they do win this game is because historically they have been very good after losses. Yes. Very, very good. They very rarely lose back-to-back games. So I think that they will be able to kind of right the wrongs of Sunday. And I do think that that was a bit of a reality check for them. And I think that sometimes that's a good thing.
And I do think that it mattered that the Texans beat the Jags last week instead of losing to them and having a home game where their backs are a little bit more against the wall. Those kinds of things, I think, do factor in. I'm big on kind of that. And like the intentionality of, you know, understanding and pro athletes and coaches, and didn't work for Jacksonville less necessarily the last few games. All right. We're going to head on out of here. Practice on Thursday at 12:30 PM. We'll have more for you as the week goes on. WKBW TV channel 7. It's where you find him on TV, Matt Bove. WGR Sports Radio 550 is where you find me on the radio. And of course, it's always game day in Buffalo. You can find us wherever you pod, download, subscribe on audio, and of course, Sal Sports on the YouTube page. Thanks a lot.